The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features some of your favorite guests. Pastor Will Wheaton.
Because the one, the individual one, is so important. He would have done everything that he did if it had only been you.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller.
People are bored with God's word, so we've got to bring something else. So you have now a church service that has nothing to do with the Lord's word or with Jesus.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Do not fear that you face death. Do not fear that your sins are great.
And Pastor Bill Swirla.
The more you see your sin, the greater a Savior Jesus appears.
View and share the new Issues Etc. YouTube video. You'll find it at issuesetc.org and click support. Introduce Issues Etc. to your friends, family, and coworkers today with our new YouTube video.
Time for a little Issues Etc. comment line coming off the weekend. We often have our beloved on-demand listeners chiming in on the Issues Etc. comment line. It's a number that you can call any time of day or night. You could be an on-demand listener, live listener, doesn't really make much difference. Many of our on-demand listeners are listening a week or two behind, and they still want to ask questions or make a comment or react. And those who listen live often want to think it over before they have something to say. That's why it's open 24/7 for you. 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. We try to respond to as many of the comments as we can as they come in from our listeners. Up first on the Issues Etc. comment line, a question about Martin Luther and John chapter 6 and the Lord's Supper.
Yes, my name is Charles Lindell. My comment on John chapter 6, verse 35 through 51, more of a question. I've read many commentaries, Lutheran commentaries, that talk about those verses referring to the Lord's presence and the sacraments in the altar, but also read one of Luther's sermons on this text, and he said, "Well, we do great violence to Scripture if we were to, if we are to interpret that set of six Scriptures in referring to the sacrament." If you guys could discuss or help explain why Luther said that about the verses, and why a lot of commentaries and things I've read pertaining to their set of Scriptures would suggest that it is referring to the sacrament of the altar. Thank you, and you guys have a good day.
It's a very good question. Thank you for that. Based upon a conversation we had last week, we were doing our pastor's roundtable on John chapter 6, and in our pastor's roundtable, we did spend a fair amount of time talking about the Lord's Supper. Now, it is quite true that Luther in several places, and I do not believe so in any place in the Lutheran confessions, but several places in his writings and especially in his preaching, he wants to put a fine point on the fact that he does not believe that John chapter 6, the famous bread of life, I am the bread of life, I am the bread that came down from heaven, and Jesus talking about whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life, he who does not has no life in him. I think that Luther, I don't want to be, with no disrespect to Luther on this, I think in the course of a very famous debate that he had with Ulrich Zwingli. It was the Marburg Colloquy in 1529. It was called by Philip of Hesse to try and straighten out or to try and bring together various divergent streams of the Reformation to see how much they agreed and disagreed. Luther found himself in this debate where his opponent was using John chapter 6 to deny the bodily presence of Jesus in the sacrament. And Luther's verse was the classic words of institution, either from Luke's gospel, Matthew's gospel, but probably more likely from 1 Corinthians 11. This is my body, the simple words of institution. Luther stuck with that passage. He said, there is my clear and firm passage on the bodily presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper. Zwingli wanted to play fast and loose with that. He wanted to try and skirt the words of institution, misusing John 6. And this put Luther in a position where he came to the opinion that John 6 isn't about the Lord's Supper. Now, it was an opinion that he held, and I think probably that opinion held largely because of that debate with Zwingli and not necessarily because of any conviction he had about the actual text of John 6. He didn't want to give Zwingli that text. Now, he didn't have to give Zwingli that text, but that was the text that Zwingli used to deny. Zwingli's text was, the Spirit gives life, the flesh profiteth nothing, quoting straight from John chapter 6. And Luther says, no, that is not about the Lord's Supper. If it means what you mean, what you say, it means Ulrich Zwingli. Now, we should point out a couple things. First of all, Luther and Zwingli and the other participants in this famous debate in 1529 actually agreed on 14.9 points that they discussed. It was on that point, 10th point, on the bodily presence of Christ in the supper, where they disagreed. There's a famous 15 theses from Luther that was written afterwards, and he explained where they agreed. And then at the end, he says, look, at this time, we do not agree about the bodily presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper, but we should treat one another with love and respect. That's what he essentially says. Well, it's a big difference, a huge difference. It's not just one-tenth of a point. It's all the difference. And Luther came to realize this, even saying to Zwingli at one point in the debate, we are of a different spirit. You have a different spirit. Understanding that Zwingli's denial of the bodily presence of Christ, body and blood, Zwingli had no problem with the spiritual presence of the body and blood. He denied a bodily presence of the body and blood, and thereby essentially denied the plain and simple words of the institution that Christ gave us to us in the Gospels and in 1 Corinthians. So Luther doesn't want to concede that edge of the debate, which is why you will find Luther saying John 6 is not about the Eucharist, and many commentators looking at the text saying, well, obviously it's about the Eucharist. I like to put it this way. Zwingli said that in John 6, eating and drinking equaled believing. And Luther said, yes, you're right, but it also equals eating and drinking too. So if eating and drinking is believing, which it is in John chapter 6, we need to push it a step farther. Luther, I think, given proper circumstances, probably would have pushed it the next step and said, yes, but believing is also eating and drinking, real eating and drinking of the bodily presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper. And commentators and exegetes from Luther's time on have said, you know, Luther probably painted himself into a debate corner there by denying John 6 being part of the Eucharist, but we can take John 6 and say, yes, it is about the Eucharist. Is it the place you go first to understand what Scripture teaches about the Lord's Supper? The answer to that question is no. You go first to the words of institution.
This is Caroline calling from New York. I had a comment on Deaconess Pam Nielsen's segment about soldiers and persecution of Christians. I think your guest is either ignorant or dishonest, because most of the persecution of Christians in the world is because of Islam and the teachings of Islam. And I thought she was a little vague about Arab countries. Granted, there are some statist communist countries, such as North Korea and perhaps Mexico. But I think that needs to be brought out more clearly into the open, that it's the doctrine of Islam and the prayers they pray, which is where most of the persecution and execution of Christians around the world comes from. And I think we don't bring that out enough, especially, you know, in the Sudan and in Nigeria, where the churches are being burnt. They aren't just arbitrarily being burnt. They're being burnt because of the teachings of Islam. Okay, love your show. Just wanted to clear that up.
She was referring to a conversation we had recently with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, where she was talking about persecution. No dishonesty, I can assure you of this, dear listener. No dishonesty, no skirting the issue when it comes to Islam's role in the persecution of Christians. I think Deaconess Pam Nielsen is well aware of that primary role, the most active and vociferous role that Islam plays in various countries in actively persecuting and even putting to death Christians. Now, I wouldn't downplay communism, because communism, I think it was Pam who said, cited the often cited, it may be apocryphal, but I don't think it is, number that there have been more Christians persecuted in the 20th and 21st century than in all the previous centuries combined. And you can't discount communism there. We're talking about the former Soviet Union. Of course, you're right, North Korea. Don't forget China. 1/6 of the world's population lives there, and it is still technically illegal to be a Christian there. So nothing has really improved there for Christians in a long, long time. They do have state approved churches, But what is preached and what is practiced is regulated by the state there. I call that persecution, in addition to the fact that you can be put in prison for being a Christian, outspoken, a non-state-approved Christian in China. So just to clear up the record there, Pam is neither ignorant nor is she being in any way dishonest. She was simply trying to summarize the state of Christian persecution today. And yes, of course, Islam plays a major role in that persecution today. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, teaching a Sunday school lesson about Timothy's instruction in the Christian faith. Why don't you hit me with your best shot? Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.